Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang. And today on the Strang Report, I interview my longtime friend, Lance Wallnau. I've had the opportunity to know him and interview him several times. He is, in many ways, on the tip of the spear on what's happening in America on a spiritual level. In fact, you probably know that he and Mario Murillo are going around the country with these fire and glory tours. And I had an opportunity to be at one of them in Ocala, Florida, not too long ago. And while I was there, I invited him to be on my Strang Report podcast to talk about what's happening spiritually in this country. Something is happening, and you will enjoy my conversation with Lance Wallnau, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. The Strang Report aims to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Lance Wallnau. I always enjoy having you on my podcast. You fit me in. Thank you. You're so busy doing so many different things with your own media, but also you've been on tour with Mario Murillo, and I want to hear about it and talk to you about what you see God doing around the country.
It's so exciting, and you know, what was great was seeing you there, Stephen. We were down in Ocala, Florida, which is probably your neck of the woods in Florida, but we had like 6,000 registered and 5,000 or 4,500 to 5,000 in and out for the whole days. But it was powerful. I mean, I do a lot of events and meetings, and you look for something. I told Mario afterward, I said, I could always tell it's a Holy Spirit meeting when you get home. If the after effect is still on you, then it's like, wow, that really, there was a lot of anointing. Something was going on, because for a day or two, he said the same thing. He could feel the power of a meeting when he leaves it. It stays on him. And this was one of those meetings. So I think we're onto something.
Well, I think I told you, and I've interviewed Mario many times on my podcast, I've told my readers that he had a big impact on me when I was 20 years old. He was only 23 at the time, but he was already a powerful evangelist. He was at Berkeley, University of California. He had a ministry called Resurrection City back then. I actually visited Resurrection City one time. And I had no idea that I would interact with him later in life. Of course, I was just a college kid back then, but it's been great to see, especially the last couple of years, how he's had these tent meetings, and now he's taken you with him, and you're having them all over the country. And what it shows me, Lance, and tell me if you agree, that there's a hunger for things of the Spirit, not just religiosity, not just traditional values, but a hunger for the Holy Spirit. What do you think?
And it's empirically proven, because what we did was we did some flashpoint meetings, and we had large crowds, like 10,000 in Tulsa. And I said to Mara, I said, you know, we're going to throw you out there, and you're going to have to do an evangelism moment. But I don't know how many people are going to get saved. It's a Christian event. To our shock, we consistently see 1,000 people come forward. And then he gets very clear. He goes, this isn't rededication. This isn't if you're giving your life to Jesus again. This is for people that have never crossed the threshold of dealing with Jesus. 1,000 people come forth. So we're realizing that if you ring the dinner bell, hungry people come out. And America, we all know this intuitively. America is loaded with people who don't know they're not Christians because they think they are. And then when they hear the gospel, they get convicted and realize they have to do something. That's our hope. We have 40 million Republican type, God, loving God and country people that fear the future. They see America going down. That's a low-hanging fruit harvest. The problem is most preachers don't want to go near the politics. They want to fish over in their pulpit or on TV. Well, that's no good. The people are coming out to the rallies. I said, well, let's just be good fishermen. Let's do rallies, invite some political speakers, and we'll hit them with the gospel.
Well, that's great. And of course, I've been going to meetings my entire life, many good meetings, but I don't know, the meeting that was in Ocala, and I was at the one in Tulsa too that you referenced, it was turned up 10 notches from normal. I mean, there was something powerful. Yeah. And it wasn't just Pentecostalism. I mean, Pentecostals shout and sing and clap their hands. That's part of the ritual. That's right. Part of the problem, trying to get the real thing. But one of the things that amazed me was how many people wanted to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't talking theology or anything like that, but people were hungry. And I can tell the story, but you can probably tell better what happened in Ocala.
No, I want to hear your version of it, because all I know is I'm looking down there at the crowd, that surge that came forward to get filled with the Spirit. And Annabelle tells me, I'm getting Stephen and everybody else down there to go to work. We need all hands on deck. And I'm real. And you guys, our speakers and guests, were actually having to cover the crowd. That's when I thought, this is unhinged. I'm not used to these kinds of meetings. So what?
Well, you had your plan, and you gave a real good message that morning. You had your wife come up, Annabelle, and you can never predict what she's going to do.
Exactly.
But you know, there was conversation back and forth, and she said, "You need to call people forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And there, you know, it was a huge group. It had to be at least 500 people and maybe 1,000 surge forward. And there was no way you could lay hands on everyone. So you're right. You were deputizing a lot of us who were there. And I had row three and I was just going and laying hands on people, and they were receiving. There was none of this tearing for the Holy Spirit.
No.
Just about everybody I prayed for, and we only were able to pray for them, you know, a few seconds or part of a minute each one. I never did make it all the way through row three, but they were speaking in tongues. They were touched by the Lord. There was something powerful. It was one of the most powerful spiritual experiences that I've ever been to.
And this is what I want to tell people. These meetings are going to be like this. Maybe not so much Mario's sessions. Mario really is a master of knowing what he wants to do and flowing with the supernatural. But my sessions are a different kind of chaos, because twice, Stephen, when I was trying to speak, the audience took over. Now, that's when you know you've got something going on, because I was moving on with my afternoon message, which was important. I mean, it's the movement we want to talk about, how to touch America. And Annabelle just felt like, people need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just was trying to introduce her, and the crowd yelled out, you know, pray for people to get filled. They were yelling at me to change my plan to pray for people. And I'm going, what? And people are going, pray for people, because Annabelle got them inspired to get me off track and get people prayed for. A lady comes wandering down. I don't know if you remember this.
And I haven't one of the first ones.
Yeah, I didn't have the altar call yet. And a lady comes walking up front, and I'm looking at her going, are you telling me you want to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues? And she said, I'll never forget this. She goes, honey, I don't even know how to pray in English, let alone tongues. And that was when I just cracked up. I said, this is the harvest I've been waiting for. Honey, I don't even know how to pray in English. This is someone who really has just answered an altar call to get saved the night before, and now is saying, I don't even know how to pray at all. But she didn't even know the protocol. Wait till I invite you. She's coming down to get it. That's hunger, Steve. That's what we're looking for in America.
Absolutely. And you mentioned politics, and this discussion is not political per se, but I've been trying to help get people, the right kind of people, elected all the way back to Ronald Reagan, and was very active with Mike Huckabee in 2008. I was in up to my eyeballs in 2016 with Donald Trump. I wrote 4 books about Donald Trump.
I've got them on my bookshelf right behind me.
Well, thank you. And you inspired me with your book on chaos. Of course, what I did, and I'll just make a little detour here. There were prophetic voices that were saying that God was going to raise somebody up that nobody expected. And after Donald Trump was elected, there was very little documented about it. I read 3 or 4 books on the election. They didn't even mention the evangelical vote, let alone the hand of God. Now, there were a few books such as yours that were actually out before the election, but I'm talking about documenting it. And Kim Clement, that's why I wrote God and Donald Trump, because I felt that this prophetic aspect needed to be documented. And of course, some of that was your teaching on Cyrus and so on and so forth. But you know what? We can't just elect a few people, the right people, and change America. It's got to be changed from the grassroots. And of course, if it's changed from the grassroots, it'll manifest in other ways, leaders and so forth. But you're right. People have to change. And it can't be just going to church on Sunday morning. I mean, with what's happening with wokeness, what they're teaching in school, the social media and the entertainment industry and everything else, we're in a very dire place. And I think that that's why people are hungry for God, because they know that what they've tried in the past or tried up to this point, or they're discouraged or whatever, and they need the Holy Spirit in a powerful way just to survive, let alone thrive.
You are so right, Stephen Strang. So being filled with the Spirit, we believe, isn't one of those charismatic distinctives or Pentecostal things. We believe it's a prerequisite for the move of God. I think we've come to the point where we know it's not by might, not by power, not by the Republican Party, certainly, not even by one candidate. We have to see God move. And to your point, the states now and the cities, if you've noticed, they've never been this conspicuous in terms of the focus of news cycles. When the riots break out, it's focusing on the cities. And then you notice they're primarily blue states, blue cities. Then you look at Florida. Why is DeSantis so popular? Why is Texas a go-to place? Predominantly because in some way, the kingdom of God has been more established in the infrastructure of government, education, business. So we're literally seeing territorial mapping going on in the United States. And you don't have to be Pentecostal. You just have to be a sociologist to look at it. States are taking on the characteristic of the spiritual environment. And if Christians want to see America change, they've got to take on the battle in their own backyard, wherever you are. If you're assigned in Detroit, here's the weird thing. If we wanted to do these fire and glory meetings that we're doing in successful places, we would stay in Florida, we'd go to Texas, we'd go to Phoenix. But the truth is, we realize the battleground states are actually not hospitable to us. So we're going to have to, we've got the tent, fortunately, as a backup plan. They'll shut us out of hotels. They'll block us from arenas. But if we can get land, we can still go there. And now we're looking at how to go into uncharted territory where it's blue states, where we need a move of God. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes, it is. And the people who are doing this have to be touched by God too. And I have a Southern Baptist friend who's very politically active, and he heard I was writing this book called Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, and he expressed an interest. So as I was finishing it, I actually sent him a PDF, and he told me that I wrote the book for him. I couldn't believe it, because I know what his theology is. And when I drilled down a little bit, he said he realized he needed another touch from God. Now, he doesn't see it like you and I would with baptism and the Holy Spirit and everything else. But I mean, this man who's a strong, strong Christian and has a strong backbone and has been very politically active realized that he needed a touch of the Holy Spirit manifested in a little bit different way. And really, that applies to every single believer. And as we saw in Ocala, and you saw it in Bakersfield a week or so before that, and you've seen it in other places, people are hungry. In fact, one of the questions that comes up when you talk about all these hungry people coming is, why would someone who's not a believer even show up? What do you think?
Well, that's the mischievous secret sauce of what we're experimenting with. Because I look at the Trump rallies, and I say, look at that, 20,000 people, 30,000. If only we could get Franklin Graham or Mario Murillo, or even if I could get up there and just preach the gospel for 5 minutes, what a harvest. And then I realized one day, it's like, I think it's the Lord. The Lord said, well, why not? Why don't you start praying that rallies become revivals? Why don't you start doing the rallies, have 10, 15, 20,000 there, and you preach the gospel, and then Donald Trump and everyone else will want to be on your platform. Instead of you trying to pray him to accommodate you and show up to get a crowd, why don't you let me get the crowd and he'll want to be on your platform? He'll hear the gospel. And I thought, well, is that possible? And as soon as we started, boom, between 5, 6 to 10,000 people are showing up. And we just made the decision. I think this is a plan. Now we're going for it. And you know who knows it? The left. I've got these weirdo websites that troll me and track me, and they get it. They're going, uh-oh, they're going to try to do this political thing where they're going to have Jesus now. And they're right out. And of course, they go right after the speaking in tongues. And they wrote out my transcript. Shalala boba boga. They literally put my syllable down and said, what is he saying? So I think this is going to be a lot of fun for people that want to get involved with the political revival. It's going to be wonderful.
You know, I sense that something fresh is happening. You know, I'm old enough to remember the Jesus movement, the movie, the Jesus Revolution. I was touched by that movement. I was pretty young at the time, but I was touched. The early days of the charismatic movement in the Roman Catholic Church. And there are other things that we could talk about, other revivals that have happened. But it seems like we've been in a lull. It seems that our side's kind of been losing. Now, of course, we who are believers who've read the book know that in the end we win. But I just sense that there are indications that something is happening. And the reason I mention it, Lance, is because your meetings, what we've been talking about, is one indication. But you mentioned these rallies. You've been to the Reawaken America rallies, which started off having to do with COVID and the truth about health election integrity and all these things. And listen, there's an awful lot of very, very secular people in that setting. But there's also preachers who are also concerned about America. And when they come, they preach. Sometimes they give altar calls. It's a very different experience than your meeting with Mario. I've been to seven of them, and it is a different, but it's an indication that people are hungry. We're also seeing some public figures, even people like Jordan Peterson and others talking more about the Lord. What do you see happening?
Look at this. I see Tucker Carlson. If you watched him two nights ago, oh my gosh, this guy is bolder and clearer and more relevant in speaking about the spiritual aspect of current events than 90% of the pastors that I'm working with. He talked about the trans community being like anti-Christian because they believe they're gods. They could change their own identity and gender by fiat. He said the natural enemies of them are Christians who believe that they're, but for the grace of God, they don't have anything to offer. So you have two totally polar opposites. How logical that the trans community would attack Christians because Christians are the opposite of this group that's detached from reality, that think they're gods. And I'm listening to him talk about Christianity coming under attack by the trans community and the complicity of secular network media to make martyrs out of the trans murderers who are hunting the Christians. And bam, he was stoking this thing, but with that kind of precise smart bomb effect that Tucker has. And I looked at that and I said, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Elon Musk, Jordan Peterson, even Bill Maher. How weird that Bill Maher talks about reparations as being insane and, you know, and the woke agenda being crazy. And he is the card carrying, you know, standard bearer for the left up until they went crazy. So I see God in those details because these are people that are the polemicists and the philosophers in the secular arena who are warming up the funnel, as far as I'm concerned, to come out and check out what's happening in these rallies.
Now you're kind of different than most preachers. You're really more of a businessman, a consultant, a coach for companies and so forth. And you know, when you minister, you don't have a Bible in one hand, you know, like Jimmy Swaggart or someone. Right. You got a whiteboard and a marker, and you're drawing mountains on it, and you're doing bell curves and different things. And it's almost like God is raising up people who aren't necessarily ministers to minister and to meet this need, partly because the ministers aren't waking up, or are some waking up, in your opinion?
Well, I think I can't speak to whether the ministers are waking up, because for the most part, I'm not running into them in my world. I'm running into the people you're talking about, which is why I became interested in Trump. It's why I became interested in Roger Stone becoming a Christian. I mean, my gosh, I mean, I'm looking at the conversions of these hardcore Carrie Lake out there in Arizona, and I'm fascinated with these people that are Christians or who become Christians that are engaged in the front lines. That's where Charlie Kirk, I became interested in him. And I said, man, we've got to surround these people like James O'Keefe. I got in trouble because here's what I said. I don't care. I don't care if I'm quoted. I'm going to say it again. I want to see Steve Bannon, O'Keefe, and these other guys that are the frontline warriors in the culture war. They need a Jesus encounter. I want to see them filled with the Holy Spirit. They're doing such a job taking on the darkness. They talk about the Great Awakening. They talk about the fourth turning. They talk about the demonic nature of what they're up against. And they don't even have a pulpit or a church background. I want to see them filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in other languages and right there in the front lines of this movement. I think God's going to give us a secular harvest of heralds that he's going to raise up.
Well, that leads me to my next question, and before we wrap up the short podcast, I want to give you the last word. I will be back to tell my listeners some more things, but what do you think is going to happen in the next 2, 3, 4 years? The trends that you see and so forth. You're a prophet. I mean, you may not have that official office in the church, in the body of Christ, but you have a very interesting vantage point. So I just want you to share with my listeners what you think. Where is the Holy Spirit taking this?
And what's interesting is when people say they don't know, they scratch their head and they really say, "Well, how do I introduce you? Because you're so prophetic, but you're not like thus saith the Lord, you know, doing like Ken Crispus or something." So I said, "Look, Daniel was just as much a prophet as Elijah. They just had a different sphere they operated in. When I'm working with CEOs and politicians, I can only afford to scare them so much. So I'm in the court with them, but it's still the same prophetic. It's the same anointing. And here's what I see coming. I see that the decisions that have been made by the Biden administration and the Uniparty, including Mitch McConnell, so it's Republican and Democrats in Washington, have put America into a place where its debt is so severe, its financial survival is so threatened that we've opened up a door for China to rearrange the globe. So now Saudi Arabia and yesterday the Lula in Brazil, fifth or sixth strongest economy in the world, is going to do business with China in China's currency. And so you see the world breaking apart. The era when the United States had global authority is evaporating. That means our military is going to be challenged and our monetary is going to be challenged. The two wings of the eagle are about to be disciplined. And it's not because God is judging us. It's because he is allowing us to experience the consequences of our own selfish choices. And that's a different kind of judgment. It's the judgment of God not intervening when you're doing stupid stuff. And that is a form of judgment because he's not going to stop you. If the church will rise up with a sufficient degree of desperation and unity, I believe the nation on the whole will turn to the Lord. I think they're going to begin to find the circumstances economically and militarily and geopolitically so threatening, Stephen, that the fear of the Lord will become easier. And one thing about Americans is they become like prodigal sons, selfish and stupefied with materialism until a crisis. Then it reminds me of my mom. She didn't know what I was doing with the church. She was worried. I was giving it all my money. I was throwing my career away till my dad had to go to the hospital. Then she called me up, pray for your father, pray for your father. At the heart, the secular nation that we're trying to save actually will call upon God when they no longer have confidence in their future and they're frightened. I just say to the church, you're going to be very strong for the next chapter because you have to be like Paul on the ship in a storm that says, everybody calm down. God's going to see us through. And then we better show up as the church to help navigate the nation through. I think the church is going to see its finest hour. We're going to see our biggest harvest, and we're about to have a global great awakening. America has one more thrust God's going to do through it, and you and I are going to live to see it.
Amen. And as we wrap up this podcast, I want you to pray for our viewers and pray for America. And then after your prayer, I'll be back with a closing thought.
Lord, we are desperate for you. We believe your words, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We cannot do this It is not in our ability to turn this nation. And this nation has offended you. It has dishonored you. It has been unthankful. It has been ungrateful. But Lord, in your mercy, we pray, hear the prayers of generations past. Consider the covenants and the tears and the dedication of others' generations. And Lord, allow America one great shaking and visitation. Let there be a movement of the Spirit in government and in business and in education, in media and in entertainment, and in every city. May Jesus Christ leave his mark, shaking what is there and putting the power of the Holy Ghost at work to bring a harvest of souls in. Lord God, give an extension of grace to America. Cause us to be yet a holy influence for your kingdom in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with me. I just wanted to add a couple more thoughts after that powerful prayer by Lance. You know, we can only go so deep on a podcast like this because of time, and there's so much more that could be said. And I just wanted to call attention to my new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. We did not literally talk about it, but everything on this podcast in some way is in this book. And I'm using the book in a way to sponsor the podcast. This is not really a commercial, but it's my way to encourage you to pre-order it. It actually comes out May 16th. That's just a week and a half before Pentecost Sunday. It'll be in all the places you can buy books. You can pre-order it now in many places. It's probably easiest and quickest just to go on Amazon.com, order a copy. They'll ship it to you on May 16th. And they also bill you at that time. And you'll be sure to be one of the very first people to get it. It's just come off the press. I got the very first copies in the office this morning, and I'm happy to hold it up for the first time. Of course, it has to be shipped to all the stores and all the things that go on in publishing. You probably know that I'm a publisher, but I have a burning desire to see Christians led by the Spirit of God. It's what I've devoted my life and my career to. It's really the theme of my podcast, Spirit-Led Living. So I encourage you to get the book and tune in for other podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to this one. My numbers are going up. Thank you very much. We're on audio, of course, have been for a long time, and now on YouTube and some other channels to try to get out the word, to do what we can to encourage people to live Spirit-Led lives. And that's why I wrote this book. The world is upside down, as Lance and I just talked about in this podcast. But we have a power that can help us survive and also thrive. So thank you for watching. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on YouTube and Rumble, as well as your favorite podcast app at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing to the newsletter at strangreport.com. In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.